you are listening to Law and Gospel. I'm just a little late getting in today because when I left the house, somebody forgot to put my badge on. So I couldn't get in to the studio. But here I am, and I'm doing all right. What is today? Today is a Monday, August the 15th, in the year of our Lord, 2016. And we're just putting on the tape. Okay, there we go. Monday, August the 15th, 2016. Here's my question. Who loves to give discipline more than anyone else? Well, what are you going to say? The answer is God. God? He loves to discipline people? Oh, yes. Well, I'm a parent, and I don't even love to discipline anybody. My children, etc. And when I'm an employer and I have to fire someone, I don't love doing that. Why would you say that God loves to discipline? Well, I don't say that. The Bible says it. See, this is one of the main points of understanding law and gospel. We don't want to look at something from our point of view. We want to look at it from God's point of view. So we're going to take a look at Hebrews 12, which is that tremendous chapter on discipline. Verse 4 begins, "In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood." You see, there were individuals who were shedding their blood, resisting against the devil, the world, and the flesh. But the people to whom this writer is penning his notes, they have not yet shed blood. Verse 5, "Have you not forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons?" Oh, wow. You see, if it was an exhortation that addressed you as people that God doesn't like, you wouldn't be referred to as sons. Well, what is this exhortation? Is it the good news of the gospel? No. Listen carefully, because he's quoting the Old Testament. "My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives." Wow. That's kind of hard to understand, is it? He disciplines the one he loves? Why does he do that? And how can I jump to the conclusion that therefore he loves to discipline? Because of what discipline does. The next verse. "It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline?" Now, fathers being the head of the household are responsible for that. Sometimes you get a single family parent, a woman. Well, then it is her task also. In fact, listen how God regards those whom he does not discipline. It's the next verse. "If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons." Wow. I mean, this really changes our view of God. Because most people, excuse me, most people think that when God disciplines us, guess what? He doesn't like us for some reason. We've done something so wrong that we're outside of his church. But no, God disciplines those also within the church. Why? Well, first of all, the writer to the Hebrews gives a comparison. We have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they, now that's our earthly fathers, disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them. Now, get this next one. But he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. I remember when I was growing up and I'd get punished for one thing or another, I said, boy, I'm sure not going to do that with my kids. And guess what? Yes, they received discipline just like my father had disciplined me. Because I recognized it was for our good. If you hate your children, you will allow them to do anything they want. You will give them whatever they ask for. Then when they leave the family and get into the real world, boy, are they going to be depressed because they find they can't do what they want. And when they do things that they don't want, guess what? Bad things happen. See, God has built in to the world negative repercussions when we go against his will, even if we don't know his will, or at least don't agree with his will. I made a point some months ago here on the radio when the Supreme Court allowed gay marriage that that would increase the number of suicides for gay people. I was in Bible study last Thursday at Trinity Orchard Farm, and one of the members shared with me a article she had read from Sweden that the number of suicides of gay people is way up, especially in contrast to those who are not gay. Now, why is that? It's because when you participate in behavior that is contrary to the will of God, it's kind of like going against the laws of nature. I don't care how much faith you have. You cannot fly. So if you're in a third story and you jump out to fly, guess what? There's a law called gravity that's going to bring you down to the ground. Similarly, and a lot of people don't realize this, there are negative consequences. As I've said a number of times on this program, it's really hard to be part of the legislature. It's easy to be a pastor. Everything is pretty well black and white. I mean, if it's in the Bible, that's what we say. If it's not, we leave it open. But when you're a politician, you don't have biblical advice on a lot of these things. And therefore, when you make a law, the law always is done for wonderful consequences. My point is that they should also at least be thinking about the unintended negative consequences that is going to come about. For example, I just heard that there was a pesticide used to kill weeds, and therefore the corn or whatever you were growing in the field was doing wonderfully. Well, guess what? Whatever was killing the weeds, some of it has learned by means of their DNA to counteract the pesticide. And so now in some areas, the weeds are growing again. And so what they're doing is they're putting even more of the ingredient into the pesticide than they had before, which of course kills the weeds. But then some people are complaining that the crops that are grown with this stronger pesticide aren't as healthy for you. You see, we live in the devil's world. You want to live in God's world? It's called the Holy Christian Church. But when you live here on earth, nothing works like you would want. For example, I have a car, and it's a pretty good car. It's coming up to 200,000 miles, and wow, it's more difficult to open up the trunk. The signal lights don't work all the time. I'm not having air conditioning beyond the low fan. I mean, one thing after the other. Well, why does that happen? This is a car. It's made out of metal, etc. But you see, that too decomposes over time. Nothing works forever. In fact, I think I put in 3 replacements for signal lights. Why? Because I'm living in the world, even though I'm part of the church. So when God disciplines us, it is for our good. How so? Well, verse 11 is really good. We're in Hebrews 12. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. For example, when I was younger, I did all kinds of sins, especially I had a philosophy. When driving, the shorter time you are between two distance, the less chance you have for an accident. Well, after receiving a number of tickets, I no longer do that. In fact, I really enjoy greatest invention ever, cruise control. And I won't buy a car unless I can do cruise control at 30 miles an hour because I even use it in the city. And many a time when I'm driving, for example, to the studios here, I'm being passed by everybody. Fortunately, there are 5 lanes on Highway 270, so it's not too bad. But I'm listening to the radio, listening to a CD, or I was going to say reading my notes, but I better not say that. At any rate, the discipline I receive from God has moved me, motivated me, not to do the kinds of sins I was doing. Now, that doesn't mean I'm no longer sinning. It's just that a whole new raft of sins have come about. For example, I really enjoy being a pastor at Trinity Lutheran Church in Orchard Farm. Their pastor has left. He was back yesterday, so we introduced him to the congregation. He said a little bit about his new parish in another state. But one of the temptations I have, even though I enjoy teaching and preaching, my old Adam always likes to do it because maybe people will be so interested in what I have to say, they'll start listening to my radio program and my numbers will go up. See, that's a self-interest reason for being on KFUO. My new man is on here because, as I've said to you a number of times, I am a super plagiarist. I borrow everything because there's very little under the sun that's new. But if there is, there are some professors I've taken who have the ability to find that, those new insights. And I share them because they help me, they're going to help you. That's the new man. But the old man is saying, well, maybe they'll start listening to my radio program. You see, discipline yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, when you're disciplined, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees and make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be put out of joint but rather be healed. It's kind of like you have an accident and your bone is broken. Well, you're going to go through some painful surgery, etc., and recuperation. But who says, oh, I don't want to do that. Just leave my bones sticking out of my arm and I'll get used to it. Nobody does that. So we allow discipline for ourselves. Every time I go to the dentist, I walk in, and the lady who takes all the appointments, she says, "Well, how are you doing today?" And I look at her and I say, "I'll tell you in an hour after I'm done." Why would you go to the dentist where you know you're going to have some pain? Even though the one I go to, I just had some cavity work done, and boy, he was really good. He gave me a shot. You see, I'm the kind of guy, I once had to have a wisdom tooth pulled, and I had an option. Well, we'll either give you Novocaine or we'll put you to sleep. Oh, put me to sleep. Brought my wife along. Had the tooth pulled. She had to drive me home. And I just rested. Yeah, I'm not one for pain. I don't understand how Christians went through suffering and torture and never denied Christ. I pray that if I'm ever in that situation, God will give me the strength. Because right now, I don't think I have it. But see, God only gives you additional strength when you need it. Remember, no temptation comes to you except which is common to man, and with the temptation, God will provide a way of escape. So, this is really important. When we deal with God's discipline, and remember what the word discipline means? It's kind of the word disciple. If you really love your children, you will discipline them, because it is not really just punishment, although it is a consequence for sin, but it is a way of raising them up. Now, I, as a father, didn't always discipline properly. For example, I came home and I'm working on my sermon, and here come my kids, Luther, Philip, and Catherine. They run into the room, they want to play games with me and such. And I sent them out of the room. I said, "Go to your bedroom. I'm busy." Well, that wasn't very nice. I could have done it in a little better way. Of course, they enjoyed going to their bedrooms because they had a computer, they had a television, they had a radio, they had games to play. I remember when I was a kid, if I was sent to the bedroom, I wasn't looking forward to that because there was nothing to do until I realized that you could put an earphone in a transistor radio and listen to Lone Ranger on the radio. Well, we always try to minimize the punishment that we're receiving. Well, we need to understand God loves to discipline because he uses discipline and suffering to bring us around to him. I remember when one of the members I had came down with a cancer and she would only be living another 5 or 6 months. She was really scared. I was no longer pastor at this place, but I got a call from her sister that she was in a hospice and they didn't think she was going to get through the night. So they asked me to come over to see her. She wanted to see me. So I went over there. I was a little nervous because what are you going to say to someone who doesn't want to die? And I was thinking of Bible verses and this, and I came up to the bed, took a chair, sat down. I said, "Hi, it's me, Pastor Tom." And the first words out of her mouth as she looked at me, "Pastor, I'm going home." Wow, where'd that come from? This disease was a way of bringing her around as a disciple that she trusted even more in Jesus Christ. Because from the first time that she had heard of her illness until that night in the hospice, she had been given many Bible verses. Myself at the beginning and then the new pastor. Why? Because that's how God comforts us. When we say that God loves to discipline, you see, if a parent says that, "Oh, I just love to discipline my children," you know, you're going to think, "Well, that's terrible. That seems kind of cruel." But when you understand discipline from God's point of view, And that's how we need to think. We're going to be beginning a youth confirmation at the parochial school at Trinity Orchard Farm. And my main goal is to get kids thinking how God thinks rather than how they think. Because verse 10 is really important. God disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. It's kind of interesting that among those that I have excommunicated along with the congregation, a number of them were excommunicated because they hated God. They hated God maybe because of someone close to them who had died, or maybe something had happened to them. And they just couldn't understand how, if God loves them, that he would allow that to happen. But see, it doesn't say, for God so loved the Lutherans. It doesn't say, for God so loved the Christians. It says, for God so loved the world. And it is the world that are those that are really angry with God. See, God loves sinners. Anybody who goes to heaven will only go to heaven if they are a sinner. What? You don't have to stop your sin. You don't have to do anything. How can we not understand this? What does a parent make a daughter or a son to do in order that they can be their child and they can love them? Nothing. How many times have I seen Law and Order where a son or a daughter ends up being arrested for murder? Who is with them all the time trying to help them through this tremendous trial? It's their parents. Many a parent continues to love that child because of the relationship that they have. Well, guess what? Who is your parent in the spiritual realm? It's none other than God himself. And when we think about that, God is our Father. Jesus is our brother. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. Why would he not love disciplining us as it brings us around to the right view of God? And it keeps us from falling from the faith. Why do you think God removed Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden? He did so because had they stayed there, they would never have needed God. They had all the food they wanted. There was no pain. There was no suffering. No, he not only removed them from the Garden of Eden, but now in pregnancy and birth, there's pain. In farming, there's thorns and thistles and weeds. None of that was in the Garden of Eden. But God permitted that in order to help us. We talk about metal is often tested, like steel, and a lot of heat is given to it so that it becomes stronger. Well, that's so also with the testing that God does for us. He does it not because he wants to hurt us, not because he wants to punish us. We will never be punished eternally for our sin as a Christian because Jesus Christ took that all upon himself. He became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That is really different. And it's something that we appreciate. Because why does God discipline us? Because he loves us. Wow. That's quite a love. Today, the school at Trinity Orchard Farm is having its opening service. Tomorrow night, Tuesday night, I'll be talking with the confirmation parents as to the direction we're going to go in teaching confirmation for the grades 6, 7, and 8 who are in the parochial school or the public school or homeschooled. And we have got some computers that the children are going to have and give us a lot better opportunity to teach in ways that I wasn't able to do so formerly because of these new items. So, I'm Tom Baker. I want to thank you very much for being here. And we will be back tomorrow with Mark Smith talking about a hymn that appears to give the impression we're going to be saved by our works to get to heaven. Till tomorrow then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.